Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
So here's our sermon title, All In. Anybody ever hear that term before? Yeah, we tend to say that, you know, I guess years ago, and unless it's something new, so you guys have to tell me because I never use this. When you're absolutely exhausted and you're tired and you just say, like, oh, I'm all in. Have you heard that before? I haven't. I've just heard, like, I'm done, as kind of saying. But a lot of people have said all in, like, you're exhausted. I can't go on any further. But we've also used all in to say that we are fully committed to something, right? I am all in. I am passionate about this. I am giving it my all.
We're all in this.
We're all, yeah, all in. Hold that thought for a second. But that's that all in. Now, did you know that all in actually came about as a poker term? And it came about probably even more popular with Texas Hold'em, okay? Anybody here ever played Texas Hold'em before? Okay. You don't tend to hold 'em, do you? No, you don't. So the idea of the all-in there is that all-in is considered the moment in which the player takes all of their chips, right, and they push it where? Into the center. And then they let go. And they declare themselves all in. No safety net, right? You don't get to say, wait, 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 I take it back. Well, not until the dealer says, that's it, right? And then what happens? You wait on your fate as to whether or not you will be able to take what you had back along with something else, or someone else takes all that you had plus their own. So you wait for that. And what are you waiting for? The flip of a card. The flip of a card. The card decides what your fate is going to be. Your fate on a single card. Now, you might say, why is somebody doing that? I mean, have you ever heard these words before? Are they brave? Well, that's a brave thing to do. Are they courageous? Are they reckless? Are you stupid? Have you ever heard, is this a stupidity type of a thing? Or are you desperate? Are you desperate? Especially if there's a big pot and you have a little hand or a little piece that you're putting in. And all in is a really scary place, isn't it? Because I don't know if you've ever seen it on television, or I haven't really. Occasionally when we go to the casino, I'll see if somebody like will gather around, if we're on a ship and people will gather around somebody who's like going all in on something. And what happens, right? Everyone starts surrounding you. There's a big crowd and you might feel like, oh my gosh, they're all with me. Are they all with you? No. Are they sharing in this loss if you lose it? No. Are they going to share in the win if you win it? Some of them think they might. They think like, oh, well, why don't you just, you know, give us some of that, right? So it's a very, very lonely place, even though we're surrounded by lots and lots and lots of people. But, you know, if you're all in and your hand doesn't flip over in your favor, they will scatter.
Yeah.
Yet if you're all in and you flip over that card and it works in your favor, they might just linger a little bit longer to see if you're going to celebrate and in that celebration include them somehow. Yes? Yes. And we kind of know this from football pools on Super Bowl Sunday, do we not? If you're watching it. Yeah, if somebody wins, you're like, whoa, are we all going to get a drink here? Mm-hmm. So depending on what happens is going to be dependent upon whether or not we stick around. Now, all in did mean something different also. And Gracie, you touched on that. I don't even know if you realize what you said. You said we're all in this together. All in this together. Do you remember what that would feel like when we were all in the same boat together, especially in times of a crisis, right? When there was a crisis going on and we all were at the mercy of the other. And we were all in this together. I remember when Hurricane Charley hit down in Punta Gorda, and Carl and I had a house there, and the house, our situation was not as dire as other people, but the entire town, that entire city came together because they knew we're all in this together. But you know what happened? Is as soon as individuals started to get back up on their feet, they didn't feel so all in this together anymore. All of a sudden, they went back to being individuals and separated, and almost like forgot what it was like to be all in together, to be a community caring for each other. This morning, we have the story of the poor widow. Now, there's really a significance when you hear poor widow, because a widow at that time should not have been poor. And here's why that is. A widow, like today, means that a spouse has died. That's what that means. But it goes even more significant than that. It means a spouse has died, a father has died, a father-in-law has died, and chances are there may not be an older son who can provide. Nothing. Economically and socially vulnerable. And the temple was designed and set up so that these women who were in this situation were to be taken care of, because there was no one to take care of them, because it's not like today. It was a patriarchal society. And so who you were and how you were taken care of was totally dependent on a male in your life. And if you did not have one, you were at the mercy of others. You had nothing. And so the temple, God's law, the Torah, said that widows were to be taken care of, and that money was to come from the offerings from the temple. The scribes were the ones who were to see that these women were taken care of. And in the beginning, you hear Jesus like condemn the scribes. And he's not condemning them for what their position is. He's condemning them for what they are not doing. And that is not taking care of the women. And they know, the scribes know that they should be doing this because it's the law. And the scribes know that law inside and out. And so when you hear poor widow, that's a trigger that says the woman is not being taken care of, because a woman who is a widow shouldn't be poor if the temple is doing what the temple is supposed to be doing. This woman, she comes to the temple, and Jesus is there. Now, Jesus is what I would call people watching, right? Have you ever gone people watching and you observe what's happening? Mm-hmm. Let me put the setting of where we are in the time frame. It is just a few days after Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem on the donkey, where they were hailing him, right? King, Messiah, Hosanna, all these wonderful accolades. And it is also 2 days before the night in which he will be betrayed, the night in which he will be found guilty, okay, a mock trial, false accusations, he's found guilty and will be condemned to death and will be killed. So that's where we are right now. And so Jesus is in a part of the temple that's called the Court of Women. And we know this because of the poor widow coming into the area. There are certain areas that they cannot go into. So the Court of Women is where Jesus is. And he's watching this widow as she comes, but he's also watching everyone else. And it's the area where they call them the collection boxes, or the receptacles for the giving. And there are 13 receptacles. Seven of them, and these receptacles look like trumpets, I would say. You would say like a trumpet, like a shofar, a ram's horn, and they're placed with the fullest part down and the smallest part up top. So when you drop your coin in, there is a loud, loud sound that's made. And so there are seven required offerings, and there are six what they call free will offerings. And so there are 13 of these that are around. And this woman goes over, and she drops her two coins, which are very small and don't make the sound that some of the others do, into one of the repositories. But you know something? There's something that we know about this. We know that the repository she drops it into is the free will offering. And it doesn't tell us that, does it? But here's why it's the free will offering. Because the law does not require that this woman have any obligation to pay any type of a tithe because of her situation. She's clearly only on the receiving end. And so her money goes into the free will offering. She puts every single thing that she has into the offering. And if you just look at it, it's like not a big amount, is it? But it's a big amount to her. And Jesus sees this. Jesus sees that she is going all in, that she is totally relying and trusting on God and God's mercy. Not something because she has to, but because of her total trust that she needs to, because that's what happens when you fully rely on God and trusting in God. Now, you're probably wondering, like, Jesus, why don't you go over there and stop this woman, reach your hand in there, and give it back to her, if you could even do that, but he's God, right? Jesus is God. Why don't you do that? Because there's something greater that's happening here. And the greater thing that is happening is Jesus is seeing himself. Because in just a few days, Jesus is going all in. Jesus is going all in and giving over his entire life for the sake of the world. Jesus will come under God's law. He will be falsely accused and he will be sentenced to death. But how false is the accusations? Most of the accusations that will be said about Jesus will be in fact false. But there's one thing that perhaps may not be false, and that is who Jesus says he is. Who does Jesus say that he is? The Son of God. The Messiah. And that alone, according to God's law, will cause you to die. There is a sentence of death that comes along with that. And so Jesus is killed. But that's not the end of the story, is it? Because if that were the end of the story, Jesus wouldn't be our Messiah, wouldn't be the Savior. Because from the grave, Jesus rises. God raises Jesus so that we, too, will live forever, just like that widow. He watches this widow so carefully because he's going to come back again for her, because that's who Jesus comes for, each and every single one of us. Living all in doesn't mean relying on the turn of a card. It means relying on who God is. God is faithful. And when we read the biblical stories and we hear this, every single piece of that shows us a God who is always faithful to us. Giving, going all in, this widow doesn't do it because she's required to by the law. She doesn't do it because she has to. But she does it because she needs to. Very different It's not a requirement. It's a response. It's a response that comes about when you are operating outside of the law, which is exactly what she's doing. She's operating outside the law. And her response to that is that she gives from her heart, from her faith, and from her trust in who God is for her. And the same is true for us today. God does not require that we give. Giving is not what's going to gain you reconciliation with Christ, with God. What gains you reconciliation is the fact that Jesus, God incarnate, went all in for you, for me, for everyone. And so we're freed up from the law, just like this woman was. And our response, when we really understand that, and the Holy Spirit opens it all up for us, our response is that kind of giving. All in, knowing and trusting that Christ, God, will provide for our every need. That's all in living. That's all in newness in life. That's all in that Christ says, follow me. Go all in. Don't be afraid. I'm here every step of the way. Go all in. Together. Amen.